The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come.
This is the final part on what the Bible really says about healing. We've looked at medical science, the importance of true faith, and the other biblical prerequisites for one to be healed. We also examined many plain verses about the subject. But there are more, in fact, many more, and they are also important. We now complete basic knowledge about healing. We have seen that Christians must obey God's law. This is absolutely prerequisite to God answering any prayer. Read again. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I have known many who wanted to be healed but refused to keep God's commandments. They were not and never could be healed. Here is why God does not even hear their prayers. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Strong words from God. God is eager to heal those who obey and please Him. It is one of the benefits He is anxious to give. Remember, David wrote that God forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, and forget not all His benefits. Yes, serving God is very beneficial to all who do it. We've already discussed faith and how James wrote, "The prayer of faith shall save the sick." Faith is also vital to receiving anything of God. James 1, verses 6 to 8. God is determined His servants rely on Him. So then, the two conditions for healing are obedience and faith. No one wants to die. Yet, in reality, we all, quite literally, have an appointment with death. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. If one has faithfully served God all his life, then death and facing God's judgment is not something to fear. God mercifully allows some to die. He does not heal them in this life. Notice, the righteous perish, and no man lays it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. But we will see the promise of healing still remains intact. Here is how. God has made promises to His faithful servants. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The fathers are primarily Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Acts 3:13. All of these men died. God had not yet fulfilled His promise to them, but they died believing He would. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, it says. A few verses later, God explains why. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us, all those called later, should not be made perfect. They must await all of us coming later. The fathers are waiting in the grave with all others who were asleep in Christ. God is faithful. They will receive His promise of the resurrection and salvation. This means that sometimes a long period will pass before God fulfills a promise, but He always fulfills it. Every one of God's greatest servants eventually died of something, even if it was old age. In the end, when the purpose of their lives had been completed, God did not choose to extend their lives, as with Hezekiah for 15 years. God allowed all of them, even Hezekiah, to die. In all cases, God could have intervened. Yet when they come up in the resurrection, at the very next instant of their consciousness, they will be completely healed. God does not always heal in this life. For His own purpose and timing, He allows some to die in faith. Apparently, He even delivered Enoch through death. Others He takes from the evil to come, and there is great evil and calamity just ahead for all peoples and nations. But all this has no effect on God's promise. Do not misunderstand about the help of physicians. There are many useful things they can do. They can deliver babies, fix broken bones, suture wounds, and a growing number can offer helpful advice about various conditions. They can also be helpful in diagnosing problems so people can make changes in diet, exercise, or other areas of health. These are all good, positive things doctors can do, but they cannot heal because they cannot forgive sin. God's role as healer is to do for people what they cannot do for themselves. God could always instantly mend bones, heal all cuts and wounds, or cause babies to be born without assistance, as is the case with animals. But He allows for lesson learning and growth in patience and long-suffering. Sometimes He wants people to research and learn why they have health problems. Doctors, like others, can be of assistance. But if God healed everything and instantly, no one would ever learn from mistakes. Read Psalm 119, verses 67 and 71. Understand again, the church, its ministry, and its brethren do not belittle or pressure people not to see doctors or utilize medical care. Though the world is cut off from God, it has devised the medical profession, and over thousands of years, men have developed certain knowledge and skills, expertise that some choose to pursue. Though under the overall sway of Satan, this world and its medical science, the practice of medicine, and that is what it is, practice, has refined certain treatments. Even though early physicians were more primitive in knowledge and practice than today, Christ was still willing to compare Himself to a physician when He called sinners to repentance. He also chose to quote, without comment, a common saying about physicians when explaining why many lepers were not healed in the time of Elisha. Also, Paul traveled with Luke the physician, and this physician was used to record one of the Gospels as well as the book of Acts. There are also certain references to physicians and medicines in the Old Testament that are not found in a negative context. Read these verses. But in no case do these passages hint, suggest, or imply that doctors can heal anything. They cannot. God can heal because He can forgive sin. Going to doctors seems easy and natural for people who have grown up in a world disconnected from God. Trusting God seems unnatural, and it must be learned. Christ asked how much real faith like that of the apostles would exist in the last days. He knew the reality of His being scourged with stripes, lashed with a cat of nine tails, tearing His flesh to pieces, would seem remote to those of the modern age, so accustomed to what medical science can do. Most would fail to make any connection to Christ's suffering then and their suffering now. At conversion, one is still 99.9% led by human nature. The enormous influence of the devil's spirit at work in the mind is still present and is only subdued over time. It also takes time to fully believe God will do what He promises, whether to bless, deliver, guide, provide, answer prayers, or heal. If a member of God's church lacks confidence in God's promise to heal, either himself or his child, then utilizing medical treatment may be better than doing nothing. But for those who obey God and are willing to trust Him completely, there is this promise. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Why? Because Jesus promised, whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do. Some have wondered if Satan has the power to heal. Witnessing loud, chaotic, outrageous displays of what appear to be healings, and knowing such is not of God, some question whether these healings could be authentic. Speaking of false ministers who preach another Jesus and another spirit, recall Paul wrote, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. One way Satan makes his ministers appear as true ministers is by demonstrating certain miracles, including acts of apparent healings. Also see Revelation 13, verses 11 to 14. In Exodus, beginning in chapter 7, Pharaoh's court magicians could perform certain acts similar to miracles that God performed through his servant Moses. These were things God allowed Satan to do through his own servants. The dramatic public healings promoted by some of this world's ministers are similar displays, where those suffering from various crippling diseases are really bound by a demon. Notice, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. This is an account of one without physical handicap, but whose body was in the grip of a demon. Jesus cast the demon from her, and she was restored. Satan can easily, probably temporarily, pull back one of his demons for dramatic effect. Also consider that often, at the climax of many such events, the individuals involved will seemingly lose control, falling backward. But notice these verses. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Then Abraham fell upon his face, it says. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. He, Christ, went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God. The previous scriptures show that those who come before God's presence generally bow forward. Other scriptures show that those acting under the influence of demons tend to fall on their backs. As soon as he, Christ, had said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Why? Notice. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, you Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Rather than yielding to Christ, those with demons recoiled from his power and authority. Nowhere in Scripture are people struck on the forehead and knocked backwards. God's ministers anoint, never strike, grab, or shake the sick. Violent, noisy reactions are typical of those plagued by demons. When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. The Greek word translated torn is sparazo, meaning a spasmodic contraction. Compare this to the outbursts of hallelujah and amen, often accompanied by gyrations or other displays of seemingly uncontrolled behavior, which are standard fares at public healing revivals. Acts 19, verses 15 and 16 records the terrible result of unauthorized people carelessly or recklessly invoking Jesus' name to cast out demons. Seven brothers in this account presumptuously took action without Jesus' authority. While Scripture shows Satan does not cast out his demons, Mark 3, 23 to 26, it would certainly work to his advantage as the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, to make his ministers appear to have healing power. Keep in mind that Satan can only do whatever God permits, Job 1:12 and 2:6. And, as Matthew 12:43-45 shows, if a person possessed by a demon is freed from it, and the person's mind is not receptive to the truth from God's word, then that demon will return with, it says, seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Also recognize Satan does not have our welfare at heart. 1 Peter 5:8. He knows he has but a short time, it says, before Christ returns. He recognizes that our ultimate potential, as those made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, is to rule with Christ in the kingdom of God. Not only does the devil not desire to physically heal anyone of anything, had he the power, He also seeks to deceive all people and blind them to God's purpose, that of spiritually healing the entire world. Finally, remember, healing involves and requires the forgiveness of sin. Obviously, Satan has no such power. Read these booklets, Who is the Devil? And A World in Captivity, to learn more about Satan. This world has rebelled against every law and rejected every promise of God. It has literally gone away backward. It has sought to replace God with human institutions and solutions. They have not worked. The nations of earth have rejected crucial knowledge that would have spared billions of people untold misery and suffering if they had known it. Man has made extraordinary advancements in medical knowledge. He has learned things about the human body and mind of which the ancients could not dream. In addition, just the modern technology and machinery of medical science leaves the world aghast. Astonishing new breakthroughs, entirely due to the abilities and capacity that God instilled into the human mind, are almost routinely announced. Truly, man can learn and do amazing things. But how often do you hear researchers and experts acknowledge God by crediting Him for having created such potential within the human mind? Instead, lifted with pride in his own achievements, man is trusted in and credited himself. At best, his efforts have resulted in a certain useful knowledge that has benefited a God-rejecting mankind only a little. Incredible advancements of the last century and a half have left man drunken in the belief he can solve all his problems. But can he really do this? Can today's confused, divided, poverty-stricken, war-torn, disease-laden world really be changed into the utopia humanity longs for? A wonderful new disease-free world is in the offing, but it will not come because of the efforts of men. Science once believed it could control and conquer disease, but new diseases are emerging and older ones, like tuberculosis, are rapidly mutating out of control. Modern medicine is falling behind in the war to eradicate disease. New disease outbreaks occur routinely around the world. The danger is greatest in underdeveloped nations, where poor sanitation, war, overcrowding, and poverty spawn epidemics, and man and his governments have lost control. Cholera, dysentery, typhoid, and malaria are still rampant. Add the more recent arrivals of the Ebola virus, hantavirus, E. coli bacteria, Salmonella, and West Nile viruses. Then add the dangerous bacteria spread by biological warfare and terrorism. While some of the most worrisome strains may be anthrax and smallpox, these are far from the only possible epidemics on the horizon. Tens of millions in Africa alone are HIV positive, and similar numbers are dying. Just the threat of devastating epidemics keeps man reeling, constantly trying to put his finger in the dike. Every form of illness, sickness, and pestilence stalks the earth. New diseases and threats of epidemics loom over large areas of earth. Anticipated epidemics, even pandemics, are now probably more than civilization can withstand. The world's resources, including clean air, water, and food, are also being stretched to the limit. At the end of 6,000 years of man's rule, civilization and earth itself is nearing complete breakdown. Truly, the entire planet needs healing. Terrible disease has been and remains inseparable from man's history. Yet man feverishly continues seeking to conquer it, while he seems to fall further and further behind. As he appears to control one disease, two more appear. This will all soon change. All man's efforts to cure diabetes, arthritis, cancer, heart disease, blindness, deafness, Alzheimer's, and other diseases of the mind, strokes, AIDS, and a host of infant and childhood diseases will soon be unnecessary. All of the ongoing searches for new wonder drugs, treatments, specialized diagnoses, surgeries and procedures, and breakthroughs in technology will be called off. The entire world will learn God has always been the only one who can truly cure or heal all sickness and disease. Exodus 15:26 and Psalm 103:3. Mankind will learn God alone can forgive sin, which we saw is directly related to why people get sick. Man is now under the death penalty for sin, Romans 6:23. Often, death comes long before the end of a full life, because men have not understood that God is supreme healer. They have not understood that by Christ's stripes you are healed, that He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. When physical or spiritual laws have been broken, they have been ignorant of the fact that only God has the power to forgive. Earlier, we discussed the great law of cause and effect. Ignorance of this law has everything to do with why people get sick. Proper diet, sufficient water, sleep, fresh air, and exercise, healthy thoughts, and other important principles and laws form the causes that people violate en route to the bad effects, which we call disease. Most modern medical schools acknowledge they spend almost no time learning to prevent disease, but rather how to treat it after it arrives. Soon mankind will be taught that an ounce of prevention really does equal a pound of cure, both individually and for man collectively. Teaching mankind about good health is one of the basic laws to success, and all seven of these laws will be taught. In tomorrow's world, after Christ has returned and established His government, people will be universally taught that sin is the transgression of the law. We've discussed in detail both God's great spiritual laws and that He has instituted many physical laws. Most have spent lifetimes specializing in how to break virtually every one of them. Humanity is surrounded, therefore, by every kind of bad physical effect. Rampant disease and illness are among the greatest. Now drink in God's promise regarding disease and sickness in tomorrow's world. There the glorious Lord, it says, will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby, meaning warships. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. The inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. This is one more verse, actually a prophecy, proving the removal of sickness requires the forgiveness of sins, iniquity or lawlessness. Next is an even more explicit promise from God, carrying more details of the enormous scope of mass healings to occur worldwide. Strengthen you the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. The Bible prophesies a mass worldwide healing revival. Only this one will be genuine, not one of fraud mixed with pageantry and designed for television in order to suck in hopeful sufferers. A utopian world with perfect health for all is coming. It will bring universal happiness, contentment, peace, and prosperity. Mass healing would certainly be necessary if this is to happen, and many prophecies say it will. How exciting to picture millions of blind people seeing sunsets they had only heard described before, and the deaf hearing beautiful music, birds singing, and the sound of their children's voices. The joyful exuberance will be so great that the dumb will not just talk, they will sing, and the lame will not just walk, they will leap. This book, Tomorrow's Wonderful World and Inside View, will show you things you cannot now dream. No universal healing would be complete without God also healing all the diseased minds, now clouded with every conceivable kind of mental illness and insanity. This scourge has plagued individuals, families, and nations for millennia. Perfect mental health will be enjoyed by everyone, and all psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, psychoanalysts, and modern shrinks will be out of business. Why should it be that men do not understand that God wants to bless them? God is the master giver of all perfect gifts. He explained this to Israel and told them what obedience would bring them. Let's read. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. This promise will soon apply to the whole world. Again, without radiant health, who could be truly happy? This is what God desires. Here is his promise foretold 2,500 years ago by the prophet Jeremiah. For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds. And further, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul, their lives, shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. By now, basic facts about healing must be acknowledged. And it must also be admitted they form a consistent pattern. First, God told ancient Israel that he was their healer. He even instructed this, knowing that he was not working with them spiritually, that they were merely a carnal-minded, physical people. He still promised them deliverance from all disease if they would trust and obey him. Next, we saw Christ and the apostles healed. The Gospels and Book of Acts reveal that miracles and healings were common in the church at that time. Then we just saw that God plans to heal all sickness and disease upon Christ's return and during his millennial rule, with all need for doctors, nurses, and those in the medical profession disappearing. God plans to dramatically reestablish himself as the one who heals. There is no denying all the scriptures in this series supporting and proving God's role as healer. Why then do people want to believe that God works through the doctor's hands and medical science today? This has never been his plan. Prophecy shows medical science is about to be scrapped forever and replaced with knowledge of and obedience to God's health laws and God as healer. To learn more, take the time to read this thorough booklet, The Truth About Healing. God declares, I heal and I change not. Take him at his word and expect his healing. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To learn more or to find a local congregation, contact us to receive a personal response from a minister.